What's up? This is Kinsley, and you're listening to the Curls and Courage podcast. Hello and happy Thursday. Welcome back to another episode of the Curls and Courage podcast. I'm your host, Kinsley Meeks, and I am a mental health advocate. I'm a coach and I'm an athlete aiming to inspire you to reach your highest physical and mental potential. If you're taking the time out of your day to listen, know that it means the absolute world to me. And I really do think you'll find a lot of value from this episode. As you can see by the topic of today's show, you know, stress, it's something we all struggle with. And I want to make sure we're mitigating that bad stress as much as possible. Hope you guys are having a great week. For me so far, it's a Monday. I just got done drinking an energy drink. I'm ready to go. I'm feeling pumped, ready to record for you guys. So again, hope you love this episode today. In this episode, you're going to learn a lot of different things. You're going to learn what cortisol is and why it matters for your stress and for your health. You're also going to learn the difference between eustress, which is the good kind of stress, and distress, which is the harmful kind. You're going to learn how chronic stress shows up in your body, from sleep issues and mood swings to skin problems and burnout. You're going to learn why managing your cortisol isn't just about feeling better. It's key to your mental clarity, relationships, and physical results. And then I also want to share with you guys my personal journey with stress and how I'm learning to manage it after a very tough year in 2023. And then lastly, just some daily science-backed strategies to balance your cortisol levels in the morning, in the afternoon, and in the evening. So you really feel more energized, you feel more focused and calm to live your best life. And then also, before we get into today's show, I want to mention to you guys that I do offer fitness and nutrition coaching. If you're looking for support in your mental and your physical health even further, you can always reach out to me through the show note links or connect with me on Instagram. My Instagram is at yoitskenslow. That's at yoitskenslow. Or I post a lot of podcast content on my business account, which is going to be Fitness for Fortitude. That's FITNESS, the number 4, and then the word fortitude, FORTITUDE. It doesn't matter what fitness goal that you have, beginner or advanced. You want to lose body fat, you want to build lean muscle tissue, or you just want to improve your relationship with food. I'm happy to help in any way that I can. And I'm truly so passionate about helping people. And I love that I can actually be able to help people from literally anywhere in the world. Social media definitely has some negatives to it, but it also has some positives, and especially in this way. So again, if you need some help, you need some guidance and your fitness coaching, your nutrition coaching, feel free to reach out to me anytime. So look, I know what you're probably thinking, right? Why would I want to listen to you talk about stress? Like, I'm already stressed enough and I'm stressed about the fact that I'm stressed, right? Well, this is not what I want for you guys. I'm not going to have you leaving this episode feeling even more stress on your plate than what you already have. My overall goal of this podcast episode is to help you feel at least 1% less stressed after listening. So I want to do a deep dive into all things stress related, the good stress, the bad stress, and how you can manage it. So whether you're struggling a high stress job, you're prepping for a big event, or maybe you're just trying to keep it together in life, believe me, that's me sometimes, this episode is going to be perfect for you. I'll explain to you guys what I mean. Let's talk about the chronic stress I was experiencing through the year of 2023. My mind and my body was really in a constant state of fight or flight. My cortisol levels were through the roof, which is your body's main stress hormone, for those of you who don't know. I wasn't sleeping. My skin was covered in cystic acne. I was feeling super moody, easily irritated, and extremely stressed out of my mind pretty much 24/7. But over the past couple of years, I feel that I've been able to do a pretty good job in reducing my stress and lowering my cortisol levels, which has led to all sorts of physical and mental health benefits. Just to give you guys a little bit more of a backstory on me, I wouldn't say I'm someone who gets easily stressed. To be honest, I'm pretty chill. But if you, a stranger, was to take a look at my life, I would say it is pretty stressful. Navigating my 20s as an entrepreneur, managing a full-time business with no additional help or employees, and really multiple businesses on top of that that I'm trying to grow, still finding my way around the city of Miami, which is absolutely nuts with no family or no close friends within even a 700-mile radius. On top of this, just the physical demands, right? Pushing my body to the limit daily, making extreme sacrifices when it comes to preparing my body for a competition, hours of training that's very intense and cardio, lots of movement, and not a lot of nutrients to support this kind of activity when I am in a competition season. And whether I'm in season or whether I'm not, I'm always pushing my body to the best of my ability. Now, let me say, I'm not complaining. I am super grateful for my life, but it can be pretty stressful, as many of you can relate. Maybe you're someone with a super demanding work schedule, or maybe you have 3 kids at home to take care of and you're just trying to make ends meet, or maybe you're going through a major life event, the loss of a loved one, or a hard breakup, or a new career path. Or what about the daily stressors in life that we all face? Conflict with friends or family, bad traffic, my Miami people feel me on this one, deadlines, unexpected expenses, or just the internal stressors that we oftentimes place upon ourselves. Any of you out there struggling with intrusive thoughts, maybe perfectionism or constant worry and anxiety? Believe me when I tell you, I know how that feels and it really sucks. So my point is, we all deal with stress in life. It's inevitable, which means it's certain to happen. You can't just say, all right, tomorrow I'm not going to have any stress added to my life. The day is going to be so peaceful and everything in my day will go perfectly. Well, I guess you can say that, but it's probably not going to happen, right? We can't cut out stress completely from our lives, but what we can do is our very best job in mitigating the bad stress and finding ways to lower our cortisol levels, which leads to better physical and mental health. So to start off today's show, I want to give you a better understanding on why chronic stress and high cortisol are extremely damaging to your health. And then, of course, we'll go into how you can manage your stress, how you can lower your cortisol levels, just as I have. And to be honest, I like to be vulnerable with you all. I do still struggle with this at times, for sure. Managing my own stress is a concept that I have to put daily effort into to look and feel my best. But just like anything, it takes hard work and it just takes practice. So there are 2 types of stress, as I mentioned before. The first stress is called eustress, which is the good type of stress. It's actually positive. It can make you feel more motivated and able to perform better. So things like starting a new career, things like maybe a big sports event that you're preparing for, like me on show day, or preparing for an important event, maybe a big presentation at work. Eustress helps you stay on track. It helps you stay productive, and it helps you, I would say, be more ready to take on new challenges. But on the other hand, you got the stress that just doesn't feel so good and it's pretty negative. You have what's called distress, which is the bad type of stress. You guys have all felt this overwhelming sensation that just drains all of your energy. Examples would be problems in your relationships, high demands and pressures at work with maybe no support behind you, or financial issues. And when you have this extreme distress, it can lead to anxiety, it can lead to depression, burnout, and other major health problems, especially if it's chronic. My main point in explaining these 2 types of stress is so you understand the difference. Your body's main stress hormone is called cortisol. So a little bit of eustress, a normal amount of cortisol production, is actually a good thing. However, an extreme amount of distress added to your life leads to high cortisol levels, which negatively impacts both your physical and mental health. And I'm talking about serious health problems: insomnia, weight gain, hypertension, a weakened immune system, and mental health issues. And again, back in 2023, these are all the types of symptoms I was experiencing. After I got my blood work done, I found that my cortisol levels were extremely high. And again, I just felt this very high stress in my body. Didn't need to get blood work done to see it. I could feel it and I could just see the way that my body was reacting. But I will say, on a side note, I do feel like, for those of you who don't know, getting blood work done every few months is so essential and can be so helpful if you're someone wanting to improve your health and wellness journey. If you are noticing something in your body or something in your mind that just doesn't feel right, I highly recommend that you get your blood work done and have a specialist look at it. And if you guys need a recommendation on a specialist to work with, I have a really amazing blood work specialist that I actually work with from back home. And I also know a lot of really good connections here in Miami as well. So feel free if you guys need any help in kind of managing your hormones and getting your blood work done. Now, you guys kind of get it from here. High stress, high cortisol isn't something to take lightly. When it comes to health and wellness, if you are unable to manage your stress, I can tell you firsthand, you won't see results and your mental and physical health will suffer. Not only this, but I have found that if you're someone who struggles with chronic stress, it can actually damage your relationships too. You wind up hurting not only yourself, but also the people that you love. Let me paint a picture for you. You have had a long day, a stressful day at work. I mean, you got deadlines, you got high pressure, and your coworker is just driving you crazy. You come home to your partner, you sit down for a moment, and they ask you, "Hey, babe, did you remember to grab the groceries on the way home?" And listen, you're already on edge. So instead of a calm, normal answer, you snap. "Why do you always nag me the second I walk in the door? Can I just have 1 minute to catch my breath? I literally do everything around here. You have no respect. You can't even pick up your damn groceries by yourself." But like, what is really happening though? You're not mad about the groceries. You're overwhelmed and you're tired. Your partner becomes the outlet, not the cause. And reacting like this can hurt your partner. It can create distance, and it can also lead to added stress for the both of you, right? Just nothing good comes from being overly stressed. You hurt yourself and you hurt others. But what can you do? That's the leading question. What can you do to reduce stress and lower cortisol levels? That's what today's show is all about. So your cortisol levels naturally rise and fall throughout the day. This is what's called a diurnal rhythm or a daily rhythm. This rhythm is super important for a lot of different functions and just a lot of different things in our body, like energy levels, mood, sleep regulation. But this is how your rhythm should go. And believe me, mine did not go like this in 2023. And most of your rhythms are probably a little bit thrown off if it's not something you actually know. So in the morning, you have your highest cortisol production. And again, high cortisol in the morning is actually a good thing. So the peak time is around 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Your cortisol is going to spike shortly after you wake up. This is what's called your cortisol awakening response, or CAR as an acronym. And the purpose is really to help you feel a little bit more energized, to help you feel more alert and just ready to take on the day. So next, you have your afternoon cortisol production. This is typically between the hours of about 12 p.m. to 4 p.m. From late morning to afternoon, cortisol is gradually going to decline. So you may still be feeling pretty good, pretty focused, but naturally, again, your energy levels are just going to start to drop a little bit. And then you have evening or night. This is when cortisol levels should be the lowest. This is between the hours of usually about 6 p.m. to whenever you go to sleep. So maybe 9 p.m., 10 p.m., 11 p.m., hopefully you're not going to bed much later than that if you got to get up early like me, but cortisol hits at its lowest levels in the evening and overnight. This is because your body is trying to wind down, to relax, and actually get you ready for sleep. Now, the reason this rhythm is actually important is because it helps keep your sleep-wake cycle in balance. This rhythm helps regulate your metabolism, your blood sugar, and your immune health. And when this rhythm is thrown off, like maybe you're experiencing chronic stress or burnout, you're probably going to feel more tired in the morning, more wired at night, and throughout the day, you have constant fatigue or energy crashes. If this is you, please do not worry. I got you and I'm happy to help. I know what this rhythm feels like when it's out of whack, and I do my best to kind of keep things flowing as they should. Nobody wants to be out of that rhythm. To me, it's all about that flow state. Ride in the wave, you already know. So we'll start with the morning, where cortisol levels should be the highest. You shouldn't wake up feeling drained and overly tired and unmotivated. Boosting your morning cortisol levels in a healthy way helps set the tone for literally the whole day. Better energy, better focus, and better sleep later on. So I want to share a few practical ways to support your natural cortisol awakening response. Remember that acronym that we talked about earlier, that C-A-R, CAR? And let me tell you, that car ain't getting nowhere when your morning cortisol production is thrown off. All of these tips are backed by science and ones that I actually do my best to practice daily. So here's the first one. In the morning, we want to make sure that, again, cortisol is at its peak production, that healthy type of cortisol that's natural. So what you want to try to do is get bright light and exposure as soon as possible. Reason being, natural sunlight first thing in the morning actually gives your brain a signal to wake up, which spikes your cortisol levels. So you want to try to go outside for at least a few minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes within the first hour of waking. Don't wear any sunglasses. Get your face, get your eyes in the sun. If it's dark or it's winter time, you can also try investing in a light therapy box. This is a device that mimics natural sunlight. So the light is going to be a bright white light that usually is around 10,000 LUX. And I will link this in the show notes below. This can be, again, really helpful for someone who's not able to get outside. Maybe you get up super early in the morning like me, or, you know, where you live, it's just kind of dark all the time. Now, for me, I have not invested in this specific light therapy box yet, but after doing the research behind it, this is literally something that I'm putting in my Amazon cart today, and I'll let you guys know how it goes. But I always make sure in the morning, first thing, maybe I can't be exposed to the natural sunlight because it's super dark. Where I live, I get up super early, usually around 5 a.m. So what I like to do is immediately when I wake up, I turn on as many lights as I can. And as soon as I'm able to get sunlight, I do that as well. Second thing is you want to move your body early upon waking. Why? Morning movement, even light stretching or just walking, is going to support healthy cortisol production and honestly just boost your mood. So try to get outside just for a 10-minute walk after you wake up. And if it's outside in the sun, that is even better. For me personally, what I actually do is walk to work. So Miami Brickell, where I live, is pretty walkable, which is definitely an advantage to living here. So what I do is Monday through Friday, I have usually very early morning training clients. So within an hour of waking, I'm already walking to work. I'm moving around. I'm training my clients. So that keeps me pretty active first thing in the morning. And then if I don't have those early morning clients, maybe I just don't have something scheduled for that week, or I'm able to sleep in a little bit more on the weekends. What I like to do is either go for a run first thing in the morning, get on the treadmill first thing in the morning, or if it's a rest day, I'll do some light like flexibility work, maybe some foam rolling, something to just get my body moving. I really do feel not only wakes me up, but also helps me feel just way more productive. Okay, so third thing is you need to avoid hitting snooze. I know some of you guys do this, and it's hard to wake up first thing in the morning, especially if you don't have much to look forward to. Sometimes life is just like that, and it's okay. Actually, let me rephrase that. You actually always have something to look forward to. If you wake up and you're healthy, you can move your body. Some people don't even get that. So you need to be grateful for sure at all costs, but I know it can be hard. So listen. When you're repeatedly hitting snooze, you're going to mess with your cortisol rhythm. And this is just going to leave you feeling more tired and more groggy. The best thing is just to set your alarm and get up on that first try. So what you want to do is just set your alarm for the time you actually need to get up. Okay. Don't hit the snooze button a million times. For me personally, I really haven't ever struggled with this. If I get up any later than 4:50, 5 a.m., I will not make it to my client on time. And I'm not about to leave my clients hanging ever. If I don't show up to a session, then I'm either dead or I am kidnapped. You know what I'm saying? So I make sure that I get to work on time. Fourth thing I want to explain is eat a protein-rich breakfast. Just eat breakfast in general, but make sure it includes protein. When you are skipping breakfast or maybe having only carbohydrates, for example, first thing in the morning, your energy will dip later in the day. When you have a good quality breakfast full of high protein, it's going to stabilize your blood sugar and it's going to better your adrenal function. Do not be that person to just get up, grab an Eggo waffle and head out the door. For me right now, I like to go in with a couple of eggs, a little bit of egg whites. I mix that with some veggies. So usually some spinach, some mushrooms, some onions, and then I'll do some sweet potato, Japanese sweet potato on the side. I've been doing that for over a year now. It's super simple. It's something I really like. And at that point, I get in all of my major macros. I get in my protein, I get in my healthy fats, and then I also get in my carbohydrates that are clean and complex. All right, number five, you want to push back caffeine slightly. And if you're like me, you'd be craving that coffee in the morning. My coffee is so good. I swear I look forward to it. But I really try my best to wait to have my coffee within about 60 minutes at least upon waking. The reason being is if you wake up first thing in the morning, the first thing you do is go grab your coffee. It can actually interfere with your natural cortisol spike. Because remember, again, you wake up in the morning, your cortisol is already naturally going to be high. So to go in and immediately get coffee just isn't the best way to do. So just wait again 60 to 90 minutes after having your first cup. Sixth tip I have for you guys in the morning is to try to do something mentally stimulating. The reason being is engaging your brain first thing in the morning is going to help your body transition into an alert state naturally. And when you wake up, you should have stuff to do. You know, maybe it's the weekend or maybe you got some time off, you're vacationing and you don't. But for the most part, I need you guys working hard. So this could be anything. It could be a creative hobby that you like. It could be reading, you know, something that inspires you or reading something that motivates you. Maybe you're someone who journals. For me personally, I actually skip this part because my brain is already going crazy when I wake up. I don't need to journal. I don't need to go into any kind of reading state. My mind is already going crazy because I'm just a high performer and my brain is on work mode a lot of the times, which is something I'm really trying to work on. However, I don't necessarily need to do anything more engaging for my brain. It's already engaged. And then again, for me personally, I also have to head to work less than an hour after waking up. So it's like my brain is already in work mode. Okay, number seven, last one for first thing in the morning. You want to hydrate when you wake up. Your body is actually dehydrated after sleep, and dehydration can stress your system. So you want to try to get a full glass of water first thing when you wake up. One of my favorite things to do, it's actually a combination of glutamine, half a squeezed lemon, a tablespoon of apple cider vinegar, and about 8 to 12 ounces of water. This drink is going to, number one, just help me with my hydration. Again, I'm getting water first thing before I have my coffee. And then this is also a drink that really helps regulate my digestion. These products, glutamine is going to be amazing for gut health. I love, again, mixing it with the apple cider vinegar and the lemon as well. Now, you got the morning down, right? Start working on these practical tips today and let me know how it goes. But the morning is only part of it. I hate to break it to you. You got to stay faithful in the afternoon too on your cortisol. Let's talk about what you can do in the afternoon to maintain healthy cortisol production. So naturally, cortisol is dropping in the afternoon. And it may be that point in the day where you just feel like, man, like I need another cup of coffee. The primary goal when it comes to afternoon cortisol regulation is maintaining steady focus and good energy without crashing or feeling just wired. The first tip I have for you guys is, again, it comes down to nutrition. You need to eat a balanced lunch. And if you're like me, you're probably eating about 2 to 3 lunches because I'm a bodybuilder. So I eat like 6 times a day, and that's okay too. But the reason being is when you're skipping meals or again, you're eating meals that don't really have much substance, it can lead to blood sugar crashes, which causes a stress response, which there you go, your cortisol is spiking much higher than it should. So just make sure that you're really focused on clean whole food sources, really cutting out the processed foods, eating protein with every single meal along with healthy fats and a moderate amount of carbohydrates to support whatever functions and activities you have going on in that day. All right. Tip number two, again, it comes down to the water. You need to stay hydrated, not just in the morning, not just in the afternoon, as I'm mentioning now, and not just at night. You need to stay hydrated 24/7. Throughout the day, you're drinking water. Okay. I say 24/7. You don't have to drink water. Like, don't get up every hour and try to chug water while you're sleeping, but you guys get the point. Even mild dehydration can raise cortisol levels and make you feel sluggish or honestly just irritated. So try to keep sipping water throughout the afternoon. And if you're feeling low on energy, you can also add in electrolytes. Number three would be try to get a light walk in or a stretch break throughout the day. So if you're someone who's just sitting at a desk all day, which I get it, sometimes you have to grind, you have to get to work, maybe you're studying, maybe you have an important project, maybe you're on an important call, but do not let yourself be that person who sits at a desk for 6, 7, 8 hours straight and does not move. Gentle movement is actually going to keep cortisol and energy levels more steady without overstimulating your system. So if you work in an office, what you can try to do is if you have to stay, you know, close to your desk, please get up every at least hour and just stand up, move your body, maybe do a couple stretches, you know, walk to the bathroom, do a couple jumping jacks. There is always ways that you can get in movement. Now, what I like to do, and I promise you guys, I actually do this. Yes, I train clients throughout the day, but there's also times where I really have to check emails, or I really have to structure online training programs, or take calls, or podcast, or sit down and create a podcast, or edit. I'm doing a million things, right? So I am seated for portions in the day. But what I like to do when I'm feeling groggy, or when I'm feeling like, hey, I just need to move, but I don't have a lot of time, I'll either go for a short walk, or I'll get up and I'll dance. I'll put on my favorite song. I will dance, not for a long time. We don't have the time. I get it. But I will put on a good song. Maybe it's Chris Brown. I get up, I dance for about 3 minutes, I sit back down and get to work. And I promise you, if you do that every hour, your mood is not only going to be boosted, especially if that's something you enjoy, but you're going to be getting in more daily movement throughout the day, and you're going to increase your non-exercise activity thermogenesis, which is so important just from a health perspective. All right. Number four, please avoid overstimulating your brain. When you are overloading yourself with information, emails, back-to-back meetings, or just multitasking, it can increase stress hormones. What I recommend doing is try to sit down and focus on a task for maybe 45 minutes, no longer than an hour, really. And then after that, take at least 5 minutes to just kind of relax your brain and then go back into your work. And this doesn't have to be like anything too crazy. You don't want to keep switching from like task to task, but just take a minute maybe to again go to the bathroom or grab some water or eat a quick meal, you know, something like that. But when you're going hours and hours and hours upon end without having a break, and this is so glorified in today's society, I don't understand it. And honestly, I used to glorify it too. But you know, you're not going to get an award-winning prize for working for 12 hours straight. Honestly, that person who takes multiple breaks throughout the day is probably going to be more productive, and you're going to be feeling burnt out and your coworker is not. So this is something that me personally, I really am working to improve. I'm not so good at it. Sometimes I get locked into a task, or honestly, I don't schedule breaks out for myself. But I find that every time I don't schedule these breaks, I feel way more burnt out. I feel super drained at the end of the day, and I just feel more moody and more easily irritated. So definitely try to take those breaks. Give you guys an example. Say you're someone who works in finance and you're dealing with numbers all day. And by the end of the day, you have been working so hard with these numbers, designing spreadsheets, managing payments, whatever you do in this finance career, but you're so burnt out, you're so tired at the end of the day that you don't even know that 2 + 2 = 4, all right? And maybe I'm being dramatic, but you guys get the point. You got to make sure you're taking small breaks and not overstimulating your brain. Couple more in the afternoon I need you guys to try. Number five, you need to practice mini stress reducers. So in the afternoon, tension is going to spike from work stress or social stress. You never know what life is going to throw at you. So there's a couple techniques that you can try. First thing would be breathing techniques. I'm going to teach you guys a simple technique that's called box breathing. This one is just super quick, and it's something that I have tried myself. I am not the best at breath work, I'll be honest, but it is something that I'm trying to include more in my daily routine. So box breathing is when you inhale for 4 seconds, you hold that breath for 4 seconds, you exhale for 4 seconds, and then you hold for another 4 seconds. You could also try like a quick breathing or a meditation or a mindfulness app, or maybe just try a stress reducing technique, maybe a hobby that you enjoy. So reading for a couple minutes, calling a friend, or doing something else that you enjoy. For me, it would be training. This is not a 5-minute thing to do, but training at the end of the day or in the middle of the day, something like that that's going to really reduce my stress is so, so helpful. And again, what I do personally, train, or I'll dance or listen to music, listen to a good song that's going to boost my vibe. All right, number six, a big one you need to try to do is reduce your caffeine intake in the afternoon. Caffeine after 2 to 3 p.m. can seriously interfere with your evening cortisol drop and disrupt your sleep. So if you feel like you need a boost, opt out for tea, matcha, or decaf adaptogens like ashwagandha. Major stress reducing benefits with this supplement. And then lastly, If you're someone who maybe wakes up super early in the morning and you have a long day, try taking a power nap. This is not a must. And to be honest, I could never nap, but I find this works for a lot of my friends. Some of my family members have told me as well. I'm not telling you to go lay down for 3 hours, but if you find that a quick power nap helps you, maybe you're running on low sleep, a short nap can really lower stress without affecting nighttime rest, as long as you're trying to keep it to like 10 to 20 minutes. Maybe 30 minutes at the maximum, ideally before 3 p.m. Again, I could never do this. My brain is too crazy, but I'm trying to reframe my brain. And then I'm also, again, a firm believer in the power of a good solid nap. We're almost there. Hope y'all are feeling a little bit less stressed. You're learning how to manage it, right? Let's talk about my favorite, evening cortisol regulation. Managing your evening cortisol is so important for good quality sleep, recovery, and overall that sense of calm. By evening, your cortisol levels should be naturally lower. But if you're stressed, if you're overstimulated, or you're pushing too hard late in the day, they can stay elevated, which leads to that tired but wired feeling. This has been me so many times. Again, I told you I'm working on it, right? We are a work in progress. Even a couple of nights ago, I found it was a Saturday night, so I didn't need to get up really early the next day. So I was like, okay, I'm going to stay up pretty late tonight and like just do some research. So I was researching all different types of fitness events, all different types of just ideas. This was at like 10, 11 p.m., which is pretty late for me. So I'm kind of wired. I'm researching all this stuff. And then I decide, okay, like it's 11 p.m. I probably need to go to bed since naturally I do wake up pretty early. But let me tell you guys, I tried to lay my head on that pillow. I got my silk bonnet on and I am not resting. I had to take 2 sleeping medications that night that really made me feel super groggy and terrible the next day. I had my headphones on. I was listening to rain sounds and it literally took me, I think, 3 hours before I could go to sleep that night. And I had to get up 3 hours later. So I'm telling you guys, please manage your evening cortisol levels. Do not go into that tired but wired feeling. Here's what you can do. Number one, try to dim the lights and limit your screen times. When you're exposed to blue light from maybe your phone or your television, this tells your brain that it's still daytime, which keeps your cortisol levels high and elevated. So what you can do is try to start dimming the lights about an hour or two before bed. Try to use warm lighting or blue light filters. This is so funny because every time I like go home and I'm in Alabama, I'll be in my old bedroom. I'll be trying to wind down and I have the lights off and my parents will come in to tell me goodnight and they turn the lights on and I'm like, please, please dim the lights. Please turn them back off. You're killing my sleep. So just make sure that you're managing your screen time and dimming the lights because I promise it makes a difference. Secondly, try to wind down with some relaxing activities. You have to calm your nervous system to help your cortisol levels drop in the way that they should. This could be anything. So reading a book, watching a show that you enjoy, but try to turn the brightness down if you're going to do that on your computer or whatever. Spend time with your loved ones. Maybe you like to meditate or again, do breath work. Maybe you're someone who likes to draw or journal. Maybe you do stretching or light yoga. For me personally, it's usually listening to some music. Again, I love music, taking a hot shower and just calling my mom. She just has a good calming sensation about her. So if you have someone who makes you feel calm, definitely give them a call and shout out to my mama out there. And then also number three, I would say, I just mentioned this, but take a hot bath or a hot shower. That warm water is actually going to help you relax your muscles and drop your cortisol levels. I even sometimes like to add in like an Epsom salt or maybe a calming essential oil, like a lavender oil to the bath. And that can be super helpful as well. Number four would be drinking a calming herbal tea. I used to be that person who had coffee at like 6 p.m. And to be honest, sometimes if I have to go train that late, I still will have like an energy drink or a coffee, but I find that it definitely disrupts my sleep. So try to have more of like a calming herbal tea. There are certain herbs, which I'll go into, that help reduce your stress and help support your adrenal glands. So some good options. Number one would be camellia tea. Number two would be like a lemon balm tea. And then number three, I would say, would be a tulsi tea, which is also known as like a holy basil tea. I do love a good hot tea. And it's just putting your body, putting your mind in that calming state. Number five that I want to go into is try to avoid work or intense mental stimulation. What I mean by this is if you are working until 11 p.m. and you try to go to bed at 11:15, it is not going to happen. or if you're watching an intense TV show, like you're watching a horror movie or a murder show or the news, like that keeps your brain in go mode all the time, which means more cortisol. I never understood, like, I'm down for a good movie, but not before I'm trying to go to bed. You feel me? Like, if it's a horror movie, how am I going to try to sleep after that? It's not like it's scary, but it's like my brain is just thinking about demons. So try to have a wind down or cut off time for, number one, just for work, right? So I really try to stay disciplined in the fact of, like, I am not going to work past 7 or 7:30 p.m. I start work early. I try not to finish any later than that, whether it's answering emails, responding to DMs. Sometimes, especially if you're an entrepreneur, now there's times you need to really push it, but there's also times where you really need to scale back, because actually scaling back sometimes will make you more productive. Okay. So try to have a cutoff time for your work and actually be diligent in that. Or again, don't watch something that's super intense and get your brain rolling on YouTube or TV. Maybe you need to watch something that's going to make you feel good and uplifted, but again, not something too scary or crazy, or the news is trying to trip us out. I hate the news. But if you guys do have any good recommendations of something that's like more of a feel good, more of an inspiring TV show, definitely let me know through IG. All right. So last two, number six, you should try to finish eating at least 2 hours before bed. And this can be hard, but when you're eating too close to bedtime, it actually makes it harder to fall asleep and stay asleep. It can interfere with your natural melatonin production, which is your sleep hormone. It can keep cortisol levels and insulin elevated, and then it can also disrupt digestion, especially if you're eating super like heavy foods or sugary foods or high processed foods. You got to cut that out. Okay. Now, again, I'm always honest in my podcast. I do not do this because of my current schedule. A lot of times I do not get done with work, or I do not get home in the day until like 6 or 7 p.m. So by the time I cook and eat, it's usually like 8 p.m., sometimes even later, sometimes 8:30 or 9. But I do everything else that I mentioned, and I feel like that's pretty good. So you can't be perfect all the time, right? Also, another thing I do is I am eating a clean dinner. I'm not going out and eating ice cream right before I go to bed. Maybe protein ice cream, but I'm not getting Ben and Jerry's. You know, I'm eating a clean dinner full of healthy fats, clean protein sources, and again, a light amount of complex carbohydrates. I'm not feeling overly full before I go to bed. I'm feeling satisfied. I'm feeling good. I get up, I move around a little bit, and then I go to bed. Another thing is, I would say if you do have to eat a little bit later at nighttime like me, try to get a little bit of movement in after you eat. So sometimes I'll just walk around my apartment. I'll be doing the dishes or folding clothes or getting ready for bed. Or maybe you're someone who can just go outside and walk for 10 minutes after you eat. Something like that would be really good if you do have to eat a little bit later in the day. All right. Now, last one at night. Practice deep breathing or meditation. Last tip I have for today, which I believe is number 7. So even if it's just a couple minutes of slow breathing, this can signal your body to shift from fight or flight mode to rest and digest mode. Now, a breathing technique that I do, I actually learned this from a Netflix documentary. I like watching about sports, whether it's like basketball or football. I don't remember the name of this series, to be honest. I haven't watched it in a long time, but it was a pretty famous, gosh, I wish I could remember his name, but I don't. A pretty famous NFL player was talking about how he did this breathing technique before every important game. So what he basically would do is say something like this. Okay, I'm going to breathe in faith and exhale fear. And he would literally breathe. He would say, I'm going to breathe in good thoughts, exhale bad thoughts. I know it sounds kind of funny, but honestly, I thought this practice was so awesome. So what I honestly do at the last part of my day is I say a couple of different phrases. Normally for me, it looks like, okay, I'm going to breathe in love. Okay, now I'm going to exhale hate. Something like that can be so effective. Okay, give me a try and let me know what you guys think. So those are the main tips that I have for you guys today when it comes to reducing stress and lowering your cortisol level in the morning, in the afternoon, and at night. But before we end today's show, I always like to take a question from a listener. And today's question is, what is one piece of advice you would give to a first-time bikini competitor? I love this question, especially with me not being in a competition season right now. So my advice for new competitors, I would say have fun when you're on stage and be fully present in the moment. when you're preparing for a competition, it is very rewarding, but it's also very stressful. It's challenging and it's overwhelming at times. And I know I have the tendency to really worry about what's going to happen in the future and look too far ahead. So maybe as I'm performing, I'm thinking, what will the judges think? How will I place? Am I really good enough to be on this stage? And even like days leading into the show. But you have to understand that the work is already done. And if you know truly you gave your very best to your preparation, then there's nothing more you can do at that point. You're not going to be able to drastically change your physique in the course of a couple of hours or a couple of days. Your preparation is 16 weeks long or more, right? So what I've learned is the present really is a gift. And the best thing you can do while you're on stage is embrace the moment. Enjoy yourself and have fun. The hard work is already done again at that point, and there's nothing you can change. Some of my most memorable moments and proudest moments in life have been while I've been on stage. And I always try to remember that. At the end of the day, if you're competing, you should be doing it because you love it. So definitely try to just, again, have fun and be present and don't put too much stress on yourself that just isn't necessary and makes you not enjoy the process. And I want to say also, if you guys do have a question that you'd like me to answer, it can be any question, fitness related, nutrition related, or just lifestyle. I love giving back to you guys. Feel free to reach out to me through those Instagram accounts that we talked about earlier, or you can reach out to me through my email. That's kensleymeeksfit@gmail.com, kensleymeeksfit@gmail.com. And I'll get back to you as soon as I can. All right, love. So that's a wrap on today's episode. Remember, stress is going to show up in your life, but hey, that's just life. Now you have the tools. You have the literal tea. I'm talking about that holy basil tea. And you have me in your corner to help you manage it like a pro. So the next time you maybe feel yourself spiraling over traffic, over emails, or that one coworker who's still driving you crazy, don't know how to even respond to a text, just breathe in peace and exhale BS. And if you love this episode, it inspired you, it helped you learn how to manage your stress, please send it to a friend who's one meltdown away from losing it. Also, I would love for you guys to support the show. It means the absolute world to me. So if you want to support Curls and Courage, the best way to do that is by leaving a rate and review on any major podcast platform, wherever you're listening now, whether it's Spotify, whether it's YouTube, whether it's Apple Podcasts, and you can also subscribe to the YouTube channel or just DM me on Instagram. Maybe you want to chat more, you want to follow my journey, maybe you want to work together on improving your health, or maybe you just want to tell me you finally stopped snoozing your alarm after 9 tries. I mean, that's growth, baby. I'm happy to help you. I'm happy to support, and I love getting those messages. So feel free to reach out. You can also catch new Curls and Courage episodes dropping every Thursday at 10 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time on WDJY 99.1 FM radio. I will leave that in the show notes below and would love for you guys to listen on that platform as well. So until next time, I think I covered everything. Practice these daily stress-reducing techniques and don't take your stress out on the people who care about you most. I will catch you guys in the next episode. I promise it's going to be a good one. I wish you guys peace. I wish you guys love. I wish you guys gains and low cortisol. I appreciate y'all again, and I will talk to you next Thursday. Bye.